I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erioki. Join me and my friends as we explore the darker side of the Sooner State.
Vinge, and this is Erioki, and I'm here tonight with two of my dear friends.
Yay!
Katie Trattner. And Johnetta Rhodes, who is like slightly off mic because we're working
I'm
on
loud.
A.
I'm
that's
loud.
Okay. You're
so
good.
You probably hear me anyway.
That's right. You're good. We were going to work on something that is a project we're all working on together in a little bit. But yeah, so what have you guys been up to?
You go first.
I recently just finished the story for the amazing thing we're doing. And then I'm working on a haunted house story that I'm hoping to put out in October. And my nose
Hell
is
yes.
just like buried. Well, mm-hmm. actually, I'm up to my neck in it.
Yeah,
so.
I get that completely. I get that.
I love that. So I started a new job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm liking it. It's been nice to have a steady check. Not just, you know.
As a writer, I can confirm that
yes.
is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So that has been nice to kind of help, you know, move things along in the right mm-hmm. direction. But I have actually started like four other projects. I am almost finished with the Family Grace series.
Yes.
So
yes,
exciting.
And actually book four, I think, has been done before book three. So,
that's all right.
So I'm finishing up book three right now, and I'm really digging it. It's kind of dark, but I'm really digging it.
Dark is good. I like dark.
Dark is good. Dark is
reminds
good.
Me of David Rose saying, that's very dark.
It's very dark.
I was thinking one of those lines today because my mom did something, and in my head I could hear David saying, don't be a little bee. Like,
oh my god, okay, speaking of David Rose,
yeah,
right? Like, you know how my last name is Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of my friend's kids, she was convinced that that was my last name, and I was like, David, you're literally David Rose.
That's so
like,
funny, oh my god.
Because if you say it really fast, that's kind of how it sounds, but.
Yeah. Yep.
I love it, that's wonderful.
Yeah, that is great. Like, there's mm-hmm. not really anybody better to be, your name to be confused for. I love that family. I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, all right. So let's get into it. A quick Google search of the words Haint Blue yields thousands of images of wraparound porches with a seafoam blue ceiling, houses with shutters of the same color, and a plethora of paint swatches guiding you to the best Haint Blue shade for your decorating style. So what exactly is Haint Blue? Well, for starters, it looks like the word haunt, except change out the letter U for an I. And at the most basic level, it's a particular shade of blue that has variations, but all of them share the same washed out robin's egg or sea foam color. Some even have a gray tint, but they all serve the same purpose. Painting the ceiling of your porch Haint Blue is said to keep the ghosts out. Mimicking the color of the sky, it invites haints or ghosts, but we'll get into that later because they're not exactly ghosts. They're a little bit worse than that. out of your home, into the fresh air, and preferably far away from you and your loved ones. Blue ceiling porches are all too common in the Deep South, and some of these traditions are also common in Oklahoma, where this belief, the Deep South is where it took hold in America because of slavery, basically. It was part of that Creole kind of
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
mixture of religions and stuff. So, yeah. So, have you guys ever heard of Haint Blue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Katie's actually one who suggested it.
I have heard of it, but mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I knew about, like, mm-hmm. blue ceilings on the porches and things, but, like, I wasn't super in-depth.
Right,
with like, the paint stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's not my expertise. Mm-hmm. Katie, much more expertise on
oh,
that
yeah.
stuff.
No, well, I lived in Charleston when I was little. Mm-hmm. We lived there for, like, 3.5 years. So, Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. It's like the epicenter of
yeah.
the Haint Blue. Yeah.
Yeah. So
beautiful,
it's
beautiful.
So you saw lots of stuff probably.
Gorgeous. Yeah. So like you go down old Charleston and
oh,
like
gosh.
Some of the, you know, big
oh,
plantations
yeah.
or like the older houses, like mm-hmm. they have, it's blue porches.
That's so
everywhere.
Wild. Oh my gosh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Did you know? I've
and
been
bottle trees.
Bottle trees. Yep. Yeah, that's a big thing here.
Mm-hmm.
The bottle trees. Bottle trees.
Yes. I've
yeah.
seen tons of bottle trees.
Mm-hmm.
Tons.
Yeah.
Which, you know, yeah, keep the spirits away. But, that's right.
it's kind of metal how they work, and we'll get to that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it is kind of metal.
It's kind of metal.
I agree. But yeah, no, I was looking online though at houses in South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and David's always like, "You want to move to a redder state?" Yeah. I'm like, but have you seen how pretty it is? He goes, "No, this house looks like we'd walk in it and get fucking haunted." So I'm gonna right. say no.
Yeah. And I know how traumatic that experience was for him when he thought he was haunted at the cemetery.
Every time I send him stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, and I didn't tell you the follow-up of that for months after that until mm-hmm. that heaviness came off of his shoulder. At work, when people were there, they would say, "Don't you have another guy with you?"
Creepy.
They were like, "I swear, I seen one that looked just like you in the other room."
I don't like
David
that.
And David was like, "No, I just got fucking haunted thanks to my wife."
Yeah.
And I was just like, "David, you can't tell people that. They're going to sue us."
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. So anyway, one of the things that I was wondering whenever I first looked it up, where did this practice come from? And in short, the Gullah people. So during the slave trade years, many Africans from what is now Sierra Leone were captured and taken to America, specifically to Charlestown with an E at the end, and it's spelled out Charles, South Carolina. According to P.E.H. Hare, a British historian, many different African cultures came together in the colonies of North America, which in turn helped to create the Gullah Creole culture that we now know. The origin of the Gullah culture comes primarily from the Low Country area of the southeastern United States, such as Georgia and South Carolina. During this time, malaria was a real concern in these areas, and many Africans who were brought here because of the slave trade, who were slaves, they had some level of natural immunity to the malaria. And that's going to kind of come into play in the creation of this particular Creole culture. The slave owners who lived in the Carolina Low Country feared malaria enough that during the rainy spring and the following sweltering summer months, they would leave their plantations and head for Charleston or other cities with less potential for malaria outbreaks. And because of this, a lot of the African slaves were less exposed to American whites and British culture than slaves in other states. And they also lived in greater numbers in these areas because they were being used to work rice fields, which is what they had been doing in Africa, I guess. And they thought, oh, they'd be perfect for this, which is really fucked up and not true at all. But
that's always nice.
Yeah.
Leave it to the whites. You know what? They look like they enjoy being in those rice fields.
You're really good at this.
Let's take them captive and make them
and not pay them. Yeah.
And, you know, treat them like shit.
Exactly. Okay, yeah.
Wonderful. That was a great idea.
Sounds about white.
Sounds about white.
Sounds about white. So anyway, in the rice field stuff, they would work in greater groups and greater numbers than were used at a tobacco plantation or something like that. So there were a great number of slaves and usually either white or African, foreman basically that would mm-hmm. run the whole thing when the white people, the slavers, were away, avoiding malaria.
In town being fancy.
Exactly. So basically.
Sounds about white.
It does for real.
Sounds about white.
No, but anyway, so that lack of exposure to white people, it combined with the greater number of African slaves, kind of created this particular Gullah Creole culture, from what I understand.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. And the Gullah people in modern times have faced a lot of similar battles to the indigenous peoples of America and other countries that faced colonization. They've been forced to fight in court for lands that belong to their families since emancipation. But a lot has been done to preserve the culture, including translations of the New Testament into the Gullah language.
That's cool.
So, which is kind of cool. One of the things that I looked at was, they have a lot of recordings of people speaking the language, which has sparked a lot of interest for people that are descendant from this and people who are from outside ethnicities and stuff, which has kind of served to help keep it alive, basically. Yeah.
Keep it from becoming like Latin, a dead one.
Yes, exactly. Which makes me so sad because I loved Latin so much. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I always think about that book I had that was, it was this little Latin book that we used in school, and all of the people in it were white and blonde. And I always think about this one particular line that this little boy would say in it whenever he'd done something to like get himself in trouble. He'd be like, "Oh me miserable," and it means "Oh poor me." And I always think of that whenever I get myself in trouble. Oh, gosh. Yeah. But anyway, so the spelling haint, don't you mean haunt? All of that being said, it brings us to the word haint, which, as I said in the introduction, is very similar to haunt, which is basically the idea, according to Wikipedia. The word haint is an alternative spelling to haunt, which was historically used in African American vernacular to refer to a ghost, or in the hoodoo belief, a witch-like creature seeking to chase victims to their death by exhaustion. Which is so much scarier mm-hmm. than a ghost to me.
Yeah, no, that's terrifying.
That's terrifying. Like, because you think about that and, you know, when you're exhausted just from like a long day mm-hmm. and nothing's chasing you, like you're ready to give up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like yeah. if after a very long day of work, I realized that something was going to like get me, I wouldn't have much of a shot of getting away from it.
No.
You know, so
honestly, I'm so exhausted in this stage of my life. Yeah. I'd be like, come take me. Deep.
Come take me. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Take me to the next world.
And then they'd be like, not this one. She's too eager. Let's go.
Exactly. Yeah. That worries us. That's a concern. their demon insurance can't handle it.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. They're like, no, this bitch gonna try to rule hell.
This is a liability. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Gullah language is also known as Sea Island Creole English, and I may be saying this wrong, but Geechee. Have you heard that before, Katie? Mm-mm. No. Okay. That's another word for the language. To give a very basic description of the language, imagine how the sounds of African languages and English might mix and be used together in different situations, which is kind of Creole mm-hmm. in general, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. To get a deeper definition of what a haint is, according to haints.org, which is a real website, haints.org, that's and cool. it's the website is called Tales of Southern Haints, haints.org, which I found very, very amusing. I don't
that's
know why.
Charming. But like
it is charming. Yeah.
Charming, yeah.
And they have a lot of information. So according to them, a quote, haint is a type of ghost or evil spirit that originated in the beliefs and customs of the Gullah Geechee people. Descendants of African slaves who lived predominantly in the Lowcountry and on the Barrier Islands off the coast of the Carolinas, Georgia, and North Florida. So the website goes on to give you the Wikipedia definition that I did, as well as from another online dictionary. But the tradition seems to be more complex than just that, according to haints.org. Gardening expert Felder Rushing, who wrote a book about the history of bottle trees, says the word haint is actually derived from early European roots, the verb hanter, meaning to stalk or inhabit. He dates that word to about 1330 and says the African-American word haint used as a noun was first recorded in 1843. But the website does note that has not been officially verified. Other sources claim the word actually originated from the Welsh word haint, meaning infection, plague, or pestilence. And I find it kind of interesting that both of those make sense mm-hmm. in a way, like the yeah. pestilence and also stalk or inhabit, because like of what it is, which we'll get to here in just a second. But yeah, this seems important to me to distinguish it from a basic haunting or ghost. It brought to mind when I was researching it, the idea of like succubi or incubi.
Exactly.
Yeah. And being hag ridden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, like, I was gonna say like a hag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is funny because as I was doing this, the next thing that came up is the boo hag, which is what this practice was really meant to keep away, was haints and boo hags.
Okay, let's get into that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this sounds like so much more creepy to me than a ghost. According to the Wikipedia page on boo hags, which there is one.
Shocker, there's a page on everything.
There is. Man, I can remember the days in college when if you had cited a Wikipedia page.
Oh God, they would yes. burn you.
God help you.
You were crucified.
You were crucified. And now they encourage it.
In high school and mm-hmm. in college, they're like, oh yeah, because a lot of times, now, Wikipedia is still, like,
yeah.
But a lot of times, I mean, it does have to have sources.
And it can lead you to those sources.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it'll tell you if sources are incorrect, mm-hmm. Or not verified, which means it yes. doesn't have a source.
Right.
But, like, it will show you the sources, and you can decide if that source is correct or not. And back in the day, they were like, absolutely not.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Wikipedia, and I just find that funny, so.
I will never forget when I went back to college, and I took a big break from college for, like, 4 or 5 years, probably, and then I went back, and the whole Wikipedia culture had changed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I had this philosophy professor who was citing Wikipedia to us. And I was like, wait a minute. I was like, this does not feel legit. Like, this feels very suspicious, you know? But anyway, so Wikipedia page on boo hags. So, according to the legend, boo hags are similar to vampires. Unlike vampires, they gain sustenance from a person's breath, as opposed to their blood, by riding their victims.
Better start eating a lot of garlic, maybe.
Oh, for real. Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, no kidding. That to me, like, the idea, it reminded me of the old, isn't there an old wives' tale about that cats want to suck a baby's breath,
mm-hmm,
or yeah, something like that?
Sit on their chest. Yes. And it's actually because their breath is warm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That kind of reminded me of that. And also just like creepy as hell to think that there could be a vampire like creature that's just like sitting on you, feeding on your breath as you sleep.
Man, I've seen a few horror movies that kind of have that.
Really?
Vibe, like some B horror films, mm-hmm, which I actually like sometimes better than I like.
Same.
Like, the bigger box office same. Horrors, yeah. Because sometimes they're just done so well,
mm-hmm,
that you're like, God damn, that was actually scary.
Yeah.
And not just gory.
Yeah, mm-hmm, not just gore, and not just, you know, weird, like, somebody getting raped scenes or mm-hmm something, like, mm-hmm, something to, like, upset you.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally, like, unsettling.
I was telling Jonathan about this the other day, so. We were discussing mental illnesses and stuff like that. And way back in the day, I don't know, 8 years ago, maybe it could have been longer. There was this movie that came out. I was telling her about this. And basically the gist of it was that the mom was haunted by this girl that she knew when she was in the psych ward. And that girl had killed herself or something. And like the mom was bipolar. And at the end of the movie, the only way that anyone could have peace was for the mom to kill herself. So that, like,
that's a real bad message.
Yeah. So that, yeah, like, her bipolar self wouldn't be out there summoning demons or something like that. I don't know exactly what was happening. However, I was highly affected by that movie. Like, I was not.
I'm not laughing at you.
I know. But, like, I was not very happy when I left the theater on that, mm-hmm, movie. Like, I was just like, what the fuck? Like, you're telling bipolar people that they're going to get haunted and that the only way that they can get unhaunted or, like, get well is to kill themselves. Like, this, yeah, is just, this feels wildly irresponsible to me. Like, yeah, exactly.
Not a good,
yeah,
message.
Not a good message. Not a, no, good message they were sending at the end of that.
Not that horror movies are known for,
right, exactly, messages, which is like,
but like also it's like,
don't have sex or you'll die. Like, you know, so they're not really known for that. So
yeah, but it's, yeah, just like, okay, you could have. Well, also I think it's lazy.
It is, yes, lazy.
It's so lazy. Mm-hmm. Like, from a writer's standpoint, like, I think we were talking about that other day, about, like, certain things that are so, like, just lazy from,
yes,
a writing standpoint.
Yeah.
It's, mm-hmm, like, I see that you put a monochrome of thought into that and expected that I should be wowed.
Right.
And I fucking wasn't.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean, and I know exactly what kind of books you're talking about, because we talked about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like it, I mean, I was very bothered by that. But anyway, so more on these boo hags. This is like something really creepy about them. They have no skin.
Oh, God. And so is it like muscle? What do they look like?
They're red.
Oh, God. So it is muscle. Nasty, yeah, sticky, gross. No, 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 no.
Yes. It,
no,
makes me think of like Clive Barker.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God, it does.
Imagine.
God, he's going to give me skinless people. Gross. Like, I can handle a lot. Like, I can do bones. Mm. But something about muscle, which is really creepy, weird to say because I'm not a fucking vegan. And I like eating the flesh of cows. Sorry about you if you don't.
Mm.
But, like, I'm just like, no, I don't want to see a person's meat. That's like,
I'm different. Okay with the muscle. What grosses me out is the fat.
Yes. Oh, mm-hmm, girl, I have a story about the fat.
Okay.
If y'all want to hear it.
Always.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to ask.
I'm gonna have to tell David to skip this episode so, okay, he can eat lasagna still. So his mom.
Oh, Jesus.
She had a gastric, or not a gastric, she had a tummy tuck. And she had the pictures of what, like, they cut out of her.
Yeah.
And it literally looked like lasagna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, why does your mom have this weird mutilated lasagna on the wall? And he was like, oh, this is why I can't eat fucking lasagna.
Did you say it was on the wall?
Girl, she kept it in the fucking office. Like, she had this picture of her tummy tuck fat removal, like meat and fat removal on the fucking wall. It was disturbing.
I don't know, actually. I get that. I get that 100%. If I was...
Yeah, I can kind of.
Tummy tucks are incredibly painful to heal from. And so imagine having a tummy tuck and then letting yourself... go back to what your weight was before.
So it's like, maybe keep it in your wallet or something. Like, maybe don't
put it where your kids are going to be traumatized.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, out of sight, out of mind. So you put it where you can see
it every day. I guess, yeah. I guess just be glad it wasn't on the fridge.
Girl, I mean, and she liked weird, fucked up sick things. Like, yeah. I mean, she liked pimple popping and stuff like that. Which, whatever. I know that that's a big thing for people.
There's a whole TikTok.
I can't about it. There are certain things because I'll watch it and I like can visualize the smell.
Yeah,
I know that sounds weird. And then I get it. Wretch.
You remember the day? I don't know what day it was, but you got in the car or I had to go back in your house and you were like, "Man, I popped this pimple," and I was like, "Why did you do it without me?"
Yeah, I was like, "You see how big this blackhead is? It was tiny on my chin." And I got it out and I was like, "I had to like unroot this thing. It was disgusting."
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, damn it, I wish I could have been here to watch it.
Yes.
I was like, dude, I tried to save it, but it fell off.
Because I'm one of those people. I'm one of those blackhead pimple popper people.
I know.
I love that stuff. It's so satisfying. And I get so angry.
I get satisfied when I pull them out of my own body.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, want to watch
it. I get angry whenever the video is, like, it's clickbait. So, like, they tell you that it's going to pop, but it doesn't pop. And that pisses me off.
That seems misleading.
It is misleading.
Yeah,
and I feel like I need to file a complaint with the FCC.
Yeah.
This is
misleading TikTok content.
This is bullshit.
Exactly. Like, I only want pimples that pop and blackheads that come out. Like, that's how it's got to be.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, okay. So, like, we're going to start with this again. They have no skin and thus are red. In order to be less conspicuous, they steal their victim's skin and use it for as long as it holds out, wearing it as one might wear clothing. They remove and hide this skin before going riding.
Riding what?
Going riding, like hag riding.
Oh!
Yeah.
Like, okay, so they like steal skins and then go and ride hags.
No, they're the hags. You're being ridden by the hag.
Oh!
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I was drinking too much.
That's okay.
Like, wait a sec.
So they have like a closet where they're like, should I wear Karen or Sharon?
Exactly.
I don't know.
And
maybe I'll dance in both, one leg in each.
Yeah. Right? And to me, something that I really think is disturbing about that is like they wear it as long as it holds out. So to me, that means that when they put it on, it doesn't look quite right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, like
the outsider.
Black. Or like Men in Black.
The Outsider, yes. Did you watch that?
I don't think so.
You gotta read it.
You gotta read it. You gotta watch it.
Yes.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
About? Yes.
It's about the guy. I think it's
spoilers.
It's set in Tulsa, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, sort of.
It's a fictional Oklahoma.
Okay, fictional Oklahoma. Basically, so I watched the series last year, like over Christmas, I think, because I was watching.
Oh, okay. It's a series?
Well, it's a book by Stephen King, yes. And then they made it to a mini series on HBO. Yeah.
So, and Jason.
That guy and all of his coins.
And Jason Bateman is in it.
He's
plays
so good. Terry Maitland.
Terry Maitland. Yes. Yeah, he's so good in it.
Okay.
And there is a twist in like the second or third episode that you're like, wait a minute.
Yes.
You're like,
what just happened? Yeah, okay. This does not make sense with my story structure brain. How can you do this?
I'm going to watch it. I saw it coming.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you guys know me.
Yeah.
I'll watch it and I'll tell you if I see it coming. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me about it.
But one of Stephen King's best characters that he has ever written, one of his best characters.
Oh my God, yes. I know who you're going to say.
Is Holly.
Holly. Okay. Give me.
Holly. In this book.
Holly,
and she's in the End of Watch books too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the fourth book she's in. But Holly as a character is the best character he's ever written.
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Because in the TV
show. I usually don't like the way that he writes women. So
in the TV show, she's autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a love interest in the TV show. She falls in love.
And
it's, which I loved because you don't see that.
Most of the time they're like, oh, you're autistic, you're damaged, you can't find love. Like,
exactly.
Like autistic people aren't, you know, people.
People, exactly, yeah. No, I loved that about it because it was like, it was very much like a real fleshed out character who had autism.
Right.
You know, it was, I just loved
it.
It
wasn't like, here, I'm going to be lazy about my characteristics and just be like, let me rely on stereotypes
exactly.
that are inaccurate from the internet.
Exactly. Yes. So,
yes, like the outsider.
Like the outsider, the skin.
Which actually, like.
Well, and my first thought, I'm thinking Men in Black when the guy is the cockroach. And he's, like, wearing the skin and, like, moving
kind of like
it.
That, yeah.
And I'm like, because that let me just show my age there. And
No.
Because that fucked me up, too. I was like, oh, God.
Same.
Oh, God.
Same.
I could not. Whenever Same. I seen that, I was like, oh, God, I don't want to look
That's
at
gross.
Any
yeah.
skin ever again. Like, yeah. I think it ruined me.
I'm not going to be able to look at people.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God.
Okay, so when a hag determines a victim is suitable for writing, the hag generally gains access to the home through a small crack, crevice, or hole. The hag then positions itself over the sleeping victim, sucking in their breath. This act renders the victim helpless and induces a deep, dream-filled sleep. The hag tends to leave the victim alive so as to use them again for their energy. However, if the victim struggles, the hag may take their skin, leaving the victim to suffer. After taking the victim's energy, the hag flies off, as they must be in their skin by dawn or be forever trapped without skin. Then, when the victim awakens, they may feel short of breath, but generally the victim only feels tired. An expression sometimes used in South Carolina is, "Don't let the hag ride you." This expression may come from the Boo Hag legend.
Lovely.
Yeah, so.
Lovely. So every morning I'm waking up tired. Because some hag's out there fucking around all night long.
Sucking your breath.
With my damn body. And I'm pissed that I wasn't there for the ride.
Also, like, something supremely creepy to me about this is that they can get in through any crack or crevice.
Yeah, I'm like I'm boned. That's great. It's Oklahoma. Like, our houses shift. So
exactly. Lots of cracks in this house. Yeah, exactly. So, So what the hell does this have to do with ceilings? So going back to the whole topic of this podcast, which is haint blue, it has to do with keeping these haints from entering your house.
You have to get some blue ass paint.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. This is about to become an ad for Sherwin-Williams.
That's right, girl. That's right. You better get them on the phone. Time to monetize.
Exactly. It was thought that a haint would follow the blue on the ceiling of the porch, drawing it out of the house, preventing it from becoming a pest to you or worse. According to Wikipedia, the tactic was intended either to mimic the appearance of the sky, tricking the ghost into passing through, or to mimic the appearance of water, which ghosts traditionally could not cross. So something about this that I found interesting was that this harkens back to the similarities with the vampire, because by tradition, vampires cannot cross running water either.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of things can't, and it has to do with purity.
Okay.
The pureness of water.
Okay.
And the idea of, like, I think that also goes, like, even if things are not, even if things don't lie in, like, Christian lore,
mm-hmm.
water always goes back to purity. Water and salt.
Yeah.
It's always about what purifies.
Salt and burn
water,
the earth.
Salt water particularly, because it's got both.
It's got both. It's extra pure. So, basically, the idea for the Gullah was to paint not only the porch, but also the doors, window frames, and shutters. Blue glass bottles were also hung in trees to trap haints and boo hags. As the Gullah culture mingled with white Southern culture, the custom became more widely practiced. The use of haint blue has lost some of its superstitious significance, but modern proponents also cite the color as a spider and wasp deterrent. However, the color has not actually been scientifically shown to stave off bugs. The associated repellent effect may stem from the use of milk paint containing lye, which does act as an insect repellent, and I'm imagining that it probably is not good for humans either.
Probably not. Like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you're right.
Yeah. So, blue ceilings, window panes, and shutters are not the only way to keep the haints and boo hags away. Remember when I mentioned the blue bottles in the trees? That's still something people do today. They're called bottle trees, and you've probably seen one even if you don't realize that you have. My aunt has one, and it's basically, like, this metal tree looking structure mm-hmm. with like the spikes pointed instead of like, you know how you draw a Christmas tree and everything points down mm-hmm. basically on the structure of the bottle tree, everything points up mm-hmm. and then you place the bottles facing downward mm-hmm. on the bottle tree. And blue is the preferred color because of Haint Blue. And the idea is that, you know how it said, like, if they don't get like back to where they're supposed to be by daylight, that they will be trapped mm-hmm. without skin forever. And that's like the worst thing that can happen to them or whatever. Basically the idea is if they go into the bottles, they'll get trapped until daylight and then they'll be sentenced to that or be completely destroyed in some other legends. So basically you don't have to clean out the bottle tree.
Yeah.
It cleans itself.
Yeah. So self-cleaning.
There's no
cleaning. Demon busting yeah. kind of bullshit.
Exactly.
That's my lady
yeah.
Winchester ways, and I'm cool with it.
Exactly. Yeah, I am totally cool with that. But yeah, I think that's all I've got for you guys this week on the topic of Haint Blue, boo hags, and haints themselves.
Took us down a few detours, but we
yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. No, those detours are what make it good. But yeah, so look out for those things.
Yeah. I'll be watching out and be like, well, we know that a hag don't live in this house. It's right. A whole bunch of bottles in the tree outside.
That's right. Well, thank you both for being here. You guys, you want to plug your stuff one more time or?
No, I'm good right now because I don't have anything really coming out until the deal that we're all doing together. Mm-hmm. That's really my next project. Mostly I'm trying to get everything written. I'm kind of on hiatus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. That feels weird. I'm kind of on hiatus. And I am actually still working on my how-to writing guide. That mm-hmm. is going to be one of my more, like, my first projects yeah. that I want to really get finished and start plugging. And then I'm just going to start whipping them out.
I'm so ready.
Me too.
I'm so excited.
Turn and burn.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
It will. What about you, Katie?
Just the creepy thing that we're doing for October.
Yes, we've got something yes. coming out in October, and I will post all about that in the Eerie Okies group. So if you haven't joined that, join the Facebook group. It's Eerie Okies, and follow Facebook, Instagram. It's both at Eerie Okie. So, and I also have an announcement with a slight addendum. So I have big plans for the podcast. It's not over. I'm continuing it, but there are going to be some major changes coming in the next year. So far, Eerie Okie has released over 70 episodes.
Amazing.
I cannot believe. That is
true. What?
Yes. There are 70. This will be 79, I think. Mm-hmm. So that's like kind of crazy. And I'm so grateful to every person that's been along for this portion of the ride. That being said, so things are going to change. And I think it's going to be great for me and great for the listeners. And I've bounced this idea off of Katie and Johnetta and Marissa, who are like my core people.
Oh, we're the smut hoes.
That's right.
So.
Yeah.
And you guys all thought it was a great idea. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that being said, this is the last episode of Eerie Okie for 2021. I'll share more details about this as time gets closer. But I think it's going to be a better system for me. And I think it's going to be better for listeners because it will be higher quality content, stuff like that. This will be the last Eerie Okie episode, but I may have something special for you guys around Halloween. So keep your eyes peeled for that. And that will be the official last thing. So yeah, that being said, stay safe over the winter. I'll be in touch in the Facebook group and I'm always available to message on either Instagram or Facebook. I've got some Instagram messages that I haven't gotten to yet, but shout out to Jason and Carmen. I promise I haven't forgotten you guys. Things have been crazy lately. You guys got anything else?
No, I'm excited for the big changes.
I am so excited. I'm so excited.
Be sure to look out for the smut hoes because we will always make special appearances for yes. our favorite podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Y'all stay spooky until next time.